Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to James. And we said last week, who is James? James had a brother, and his name was Jesus. And man, you thought it was rough living in your household. You know what I mean? Anybody have somebody, a good brother or sister? Your mom used to always say, why don't you act like, you know what? Can you imagine James hearing that a couple times? A couple thousands of times. James, why don't you just act like Jesus? But at some point in time, James recognized that his brother was the Son of God. And he wrote this letter, and it's very, very helpful. James, and we'll start with chapter 1 today. We're still in chapter 1. We're just going through James and going to glean some wonderful things out of James. But I want you to go down chapter 1. We're just going to read two verses tonight, verses 9 and 10. And James says this, let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation. Verse 10, but the rich in his humility, in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field, he will fade away. Just two verses, but very interesting verses as James points out some things to us. And before we get started, so James is talking about poor people and rich people. James is talking about poor people and rich people. He's talking about, but not just, I believe, not just financially poor and financially rich, although this is certainly included in that, but he's talking about lowly people, people who aren't thought at, maybe you weren't the prettiest. How many weren't the prettiest in your high school, you know what I mean? How many weren't the most, the best athlete in your high school, you know what I mean? How many how many were on the dorky side on the, you know, you don't have to raise your hand, that's okay, okay. But you, for whatever reason, you know what, you just felt like, and see, that's how Satan works. He, even though God made you, and he made you just like you wanted, you know, such interest, so interesting because, and I think we showed this several times, I don't have it for us, but there's a picture of a model, and she's advertising whatever she's advertising, and she's, you know what, they did a big billboard. Well, they bring this model in, and she's pretty just the way she is. But then they fix her. And they Photoshop it, and they go through everything, and they, you know what, put her eyebrows up a little bit or out a little bit, and they change this and they change that. And they, because here's the thing, and the reason why that's so good to show is because you're sitting there and you're thinking, oh my goodness, if they have to fix her, well, you know, what would they do with me? Right? And here's my point is, you know your imperfections like nobody else does. And every time you look in the mirror, you know what? It's like Satan says, well, look at that. And he points this out over and over again. Or you know your weaknesses. And Satan just exploits that and exploits that and exploits that. And he points it out to you and he points it out to you and points it out to you. His goal is to break you down. And to, over a period of time, just make you feel lower and lower and lower and lower, to take your confidence and to erode it to a point where you think, you know what, I can't do anything. I can't do anything right. I can't say anything right. And so I'm just not going to do anything. I'm just not going to say anything. And let me tell you, can I tell somebody the truth tonight? Satan is so evil that he can get people to the place that at some point in time, and please understand this, Satan can't do anything to you except that you give him the right to do. He can't. But as you start to listen to him and listen to his suggestions, but eventually he wants to get you such to the place where you feel so low that then he because this is his goal, he eventually wants to kill you. And so he wants to get you such to the place that he'll eventually tell you, here's what I want you to do. I want you to just kill yourself. Everybody be better if you were in that place. And killing yourself seems like a viable option. I'm just telling you what he's trying to do, what he wants to do. And maybe you're far away from that place, but all of us tonight can relate to feeling inferior. Can we not? Can we not? And so Paul addresses this right away, and he says this. Watch this. He says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to I want you to let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation. We'll talk about what that means in a minute. But I want to ask you some questions first. First question I want to ask you this is, where are you? Let's just talk about financially. Where are you? Are you rich or are you poor? Think about how would you answer that. Are you rich or are you poor? First question I want to ask you. Second question I want to ask you is this. Guys, do you have these questions in the back or no? I can't see you. Are you saying yes or no? Just tell me. No, you don't. Okay. Are you rich or are you poor? Answer this question. Are the wealthy spiritual and the poor unspiritual? Is that true? Or I want to ask you this question. Or is the poor the spiritual ones and the wealthy the unspiritual? I hate to tell you the answers, but that's I love you. That's absolutely wrong. It's just not wrong. It's you can't substantiate it biblically, and I'll go over that in a minute. But that's what we think, do we not? Or maybe I'm smiling, right? Or maybe you're wrong. On watch this on all counts. Now, let me ask you this. Maybe it's neither one. Maybe it's that everyone, rich or poor, has the ability to be spiritual. Oh, now it's clicking, is it not? Right? Right? Can rich people be spiritual? Absolutely. Can poor people be spiritual? Can rich people be unspiritual? Can poor people be unspiritual? See, you answered it for me. But what we want to do is we want to say, no, no, no. And it's kind of how we roll. We kind of want to say, no, no, no. Well, let me ask you this. How did you answer the first question? Are you rich or are you poor? How many answered that you were? I'm just talking about financially. We'll get to that other one in a minute. But I'm just asking, how many financially think that you are rich? How many financially think that you're, and you got, you, I'd like you to vote if you would. How many financially think that you're poor? Raise your hand if you think you're poor. Okay. How many think, it's not a true question. Well, it actually is a true question. Can I tell you what? Remember when I said you're wrong? See, I would be honest. See, I know you feel intimidated. It's like, I don't want to say I'm poor. But I think most people, if you know what? I think most people would classify themselves on the low end of the very low end of middle class. Let me ask you that. How many would classify you in the low end of middle class? How many would? Okay, I'm still feel okay. Anyway, I think that most people would classify. If you had a choice, let me say it another way. I'm just asking you. Let me ask you. If you had to be on one side or the other, would you say, if there was one choice, you're either poor or rich, how many say that you are poor? We're just talking about financially. How many would say you're rich financially? Okay. Well, okay, I think, can I tell you the answer? The answer is you are all very, very, very rich. Now, before you get all spiritually, yes, hallelujah, I'm rich with the blessings of God. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Guys, I'm not even going there yet, okay? Don't get all spiritual on me, okay? All I'm telling you is financially, everybody say financially. You are incredibly wealthy in terms of the world. You are incredibly wealthy in terms of the world. Listen to me. The bottom, everybody say the bottom. The bottom 10% of income in America. I don't know if you're the bottom 10%. But if you're the bottom 10% in America, you are the top 30% in the world. The bottom 10% in America is the top 30% in the world. I'm just telling you statistics. I read it today on the internet. Here's the reality. The reality is financially, we are incredibly rich. And the poorest amongst the poor, if they compare themselves to globally where most people are, they are financially, they are the envy of the world. People in every continent in the world would trade places with the lower percent, with the top 10 low percent in America in a heartbeat. That quick, they would change places with you. And this is important because we get it all mixed up. And here's what James is saying. He's saying, guys, here's the problem. Let the lowly, and not only the lowly financially, but the lowly the lowly mentally, your perception of who you are. The problem is that you get your wealth, your worth, your net worth you get out of how much you are worth financially and what other people say about you. And what James is saying is he's saying, guys, stop allowing this outside circumstance to dictate to you who you are. Instead, what you ought to do is you need to identify. Let the lowly identify glory in his exaltation. Glory in his exaltation. What does that mean? Here's what it means. God has exalted you. How many of you are born again? If you're born again, raise your hand. Okay. If you're born again, then here's what you are. You're in the family of God, and God says, you know what? You're in my family. And if you're in my family, then you have everything that I have. You get it. So, and what James is saying, he's saying, look, here's what you're doing. You're in the family of God, but you're acting like you're the poorest of the poor, and the reality is you're the richest of the rich. See, you need to glory in the position that I put you in. I've told you this, and it comes from, you know what, Pastor, what are you doing? I'm glorying in the exaltation of what God positioned me in. So I walk in the grocery store, and the position that nobody wants is Quick Check. And it's way down here on number one. It's quick check number one. Check stand number one. I've told you this before. So I go in and I, you know what, because we had to get our trays or our tills. And I knock down the door and they say, oh, Drew, you're quick check today. And I get to go by check stand 8 and check stand 7 and check stand 6 and check stand 5. And they all know, ha, Drew's got quick check today. Well, what would you do? I'd let the lowly glory in exaltation. I'd just walk in and I'd say, I'm number one. They're giving me number one because I am number one. She said, Pastor, that's ridiculous. Whatever. You know what? See, I'm not going to allow them to dictate who I am. I'm going to let Christ dictate to me. Amen. I'm in the family of God. I'm number one. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to quick check. And I'm going to be happy down there all day long, even though I have to deal with 3 times the amount of customers than you guys got to deal with. Amen? Are you seeing this? But here's what we do. We identify with who we are, with what we drive, with, you know what, with where we live, with what people say about us, you know what, with how attractive we are, or, you know what, or what our waist size is. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Or, you know what, or do we have a, or, you know what, is our hair falling out or is it not? Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. All this stuff. And God says, and listen, I'm not saying, you know what, I'm not saying that you can't, you know, put on some makeup and brush your hair or shave your head. You know, you're looking all good. You're looking good tonight. I'm not saying that you can't be your best. I'm not saying that. Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying what James is saying is when we identify with that, whatever that is, then we open up ourselves to not seeing what God says about us. Is this making sense? And people get all messed up because they wrap who they are not around what God says, but around what people say. And how many know people talk a lot of jive, you know what I mean? Is this not a lot of smack talk, you know what I mean? And everybody's got opinion, and most people are, that's why I tell you, you know what, all the time, tell them something good, tell them something good, tell them something good, you know what I mean? I really like Shaka Lacan or whatever her name was. You know what? You know, right? Right, Shaka Khan. I liked her. You know what? Tell me something good. You know what? I like that. You know what? I think that was kind of spiritual when she was singing that. You know what I mean? I like that. I think you ought to, I think that's how, but people aren't like that. You know what I mean? How many know people have a tendency to notice the negative? Amen? And to bring out the negative and say the negative, and you've done all this and this and this and this and this right, but they'll notice what you didn't do right, and that's what they'll want to talk about. And you start, yeah, exactly, and you start listening to that, and you start being a part, and some, listen, and some of those people are even close to you. And James says, stop doing it. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We'll do something. We've done this before. But I'm going to show you. Oh, I hope I have those notes. Yes, I have those notes. I'm going to show you some pictures. And as soon as you see the picture, as soon as you can identify who it is, then you tell me who it is. You guys ready? You guys ready in the back? Are you guys ready in the back? Do you have the pictures? Guys, I'm sorry with the lights. It's hard to see. Are you guys ready in the back? No, you're not. Can you get ready in the back? Can you give me a big, like, whoo, whoo? Oh, you're already ready? Okay, no. All right. So he's going to get ready in a minute. No, I can't describe it to you. I'm going to show it to you. Amen. That's all right. That's all right. Guys in the back, you need to flow with me here. Look at, turn to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, we'll start with verse 1. Get it up there as soon as you can. Psalm 103. And then guys in the back, tell me when you have those pictures. Psalm 103. See, this is what God says. Look what he says, Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Amen. Now listen, these are the benefits that God has given. And there's a lot of good ones. Look what it says. All his benefits. Look. Who forgives all your iniquities. How many know that's a good thing? Yeah, but Pastor, it don't make any difference. God's forgiven you all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. And there's people who want to argue with that. I won't argue with what God says. He heals my disease. Just, you know, so when I get up and my back is sore or whatever, I say, Father, thank you. You said lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And thank you, God, that's what I receive. Why? Because that's what it said. Well, Pastor, but listen, you know what? I'm not going to argue with you. If you want to proclaim how sick you are, then you can do it as long as you want. But I'm not going to come and agree with you. Okay, you guys are ready? All right. Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
Right. As soon as we come this up, as soon as that comes up, you tell me who this is. You tell me who this is. Wait, guys. In the back, let me get my notes first. All right. Number one, go. Who's that? Who's that? That is Prince. Number two, who's this? Yeah. That is a very good bicycle guy. You know what? He can do all kinds of flips and all kinds of things. Okay. Okay. They called him David Miracle because he did just things that people couldn't even believe he did on a bicycle. Okay. Who's this? Guys, who's that? Oh, come on. Who's that? Okay, who's this? Oh, that's Whitney Houston. Okay, it's good. Who's this? Amy Winehouse. Winhouse. I don't know, whatever. Who's this? Robin Williams. Okay. Who is this? Keith Ledger. Okay. That's right. Who's this? Kurt Cobain. Now, all eyes up here. Who can tell me what all these people have in common? They're all not here. Who else can tell me what they have in common? They're all dead. They all died from shooting themselves, hanging themselves, or ODing on drugs. Shooting themselves, hanging themselves. Pastor, this is not an encouraging message. Listen, I'm not here to talk about them. I'm not here to belittle them. I'm here to say to all of us that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And watch this. And is famous as good looking, as wealthy. Think about it. As these people were. Why? James, because James told us. Here's the problem. They're glorying, they're getting their self-worth based on something that is one day up and one day down and one day up and one day down. And one day they'll all be clapping and saying, wow, that was an awesome album. And then the next album that they'll come out with, they'll say, man, what happened? You know, this is an awful album. And what happens is, when you get your self-worth is based on what the world says about you, then you're going to be on a roller coaster ride. And I will tell you this, and most of it will be down. Because that's how negative the world is. And James is saying, guys, wait, guys, Christians, brothers. And when he says brothers, he's including women. Ladies, back then, you know what? Back then, a woman was like a just a like a like a farm animal, had no more right. And he's saying, you, those of you who are lowly and you see yourself like that, he's saying, here's the problem. The problem is, you know what? If you're a Christian, you need to glory in your exaltation. What he's saying, you need to put glory in what God says about you. You need to see yourself like God says. You need to understand God sees you in a totally different way. You need to get your eyes off of what the world says and start recognizing God is for you. He's promised never to leave you or forsake you. He's promised you healing and his covenant and all this. I'll go back to all this cool stuff. Forget not all his benefits. He forgives you of all your iniquities. He heals you of all your diseases. He redeems your life from destruction. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy. He satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like angels. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts for the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He will not deal with us according to our sins. Wow, that's a good one. Amen. Nor punishes us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. God's mercy is there for us. All we have to do is recognize God is our God. We are his people. And what we need to do is not look and see what people say about us, but what does God think about us? Amen? Yeah, but Pastor, stop identifying with that. Stop identifying with that. Yeah, but Pastor, I just went to this school. Yeah, but Pastor, I did this. I've told you the things, you know, the crazy things that I, you know, I graduated from, you know what, that mighty powerhouse, you know, that huge institution of smartness. Pioneer High School. And I say that as a mockery because I just think, oh my goodness, and we start grading ourselves based on something that God says, you think I sweat that? You think I can't do something awesome from somebody who graduated from Pioneer? Are you kidding me? See, stop focusing on where you went to school and start focusing in the family that you're in. Let me tell you what. I might have graduated from Pioneer High School, but let me tell you what, there is royalty in my veins. And there's royalty in your veins. Tonight before you go to bed, as you go to bed, you need to take off your amen. Amen. I like the company who made all our windows. We went to his shop the other day, and we went to his shop, and he had just a regular desk and a regular office, but he had this chair, and this chair was this grand, it was red and gold and very grand. It was like the king sits in this chair. That's what he's saying. He's saying, guys, you need to, well look, you know it, turn back to 23rd Psalm. See, this is who we are. Look what David writes. The Lord is my shepherd. Listen, the Lord is your shepherd. Let me tell you, that's special. What does he do? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You know what that means? It means God is the one. You're not the person that goes in need. Oh, I need this. I need that. I need that. No, no. You don't need any of that. Let me tell you why. Because God is your shepherd. What does he do? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me behind still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for a name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Yeah, there might be some things happening. I don't sweat that. You don't need to be worried. You don't need to be concerned. Oh, I'm so worried about this. I'm so worried. Why are you worried? It's just a valley of the shadow of death. What will I do? I will fear no evil. Why? For you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know why the rod and the staff comforted the sheep? Because they'd see it and they knew that what's going to happen is that wolf comes to steal the sheep, and that guy will take that rod and just go, boom! You think those rods were little, like little toothpick things? They weren't toothpick things. These things were thick enough that they could just slap a wolf and just knock it out off the top of their head by just going, boom! That wolf's like, you know the little Tweety birds? Can you see them? See, that's why the sheep is like, I'm comforted because God is going to protect me. See, you need to recognize, no. You're something special. Stop identifying with who the world says. Even stop identifying with what your family says about you. Just identify with what God says about you. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That's good, is it not? Oh, here you go. Here you go. Here's the table. Sit on down. Oh, yeah, there's your enemies over there. They ain't eating nothing, but you're going to eat in front of them. Amen. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and for sure, goodness and mercy that followed me all my days of my life. Let me tell you, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. I'll win. See, that's who our God is. Sometimes we read the 23rd verse, Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We don't even know what it says. You know what it's saying? It's saying God's for you. God's for you in every single way. God is on your side. Are you learning something tonight? And then verse 10, go back to James. Verse 10. You know what he's saying? He's saying, you know what the rich need to do? Some of you, and we can identify with both of this. We need to identify with both of these people. We need to identify with the rich because according to world statistics, we are the rich. And we need to listen to this warning. Listen, I'm not rich. I'm not like Bill Gates. I'm not like, you know, whoever we come up. I'm not like, you know, Whitney or I don't know. Whoever rich person you're thinking of. Oprah Winfrey. I'm not like Oprah Winfrey. I'm not like can I tell you what? I'm just telling you, you are financially rich. According to world standards. And the reason why this is so important is because you need to listen to the warning. Because here's why it's important. Because as the flower of the field passes away, you know how quickly your life is gone? It's like that. And when your life is like that, it's not going to make any difference what you drive or what house you live in or how much is in your bank account. You know what? Your life is going to be over. And we need to recognize that. We only have one life. And here's what he's saying. Guys, you need to focus on that which is important. Can I tell you what we do? And let me just talk to you all like you're rich, because you are all rich. I forget her name now, but she said, I live in a materialistic world. Madonna said, and I'm a material girl. Now, she was telling the truth. And that's the society that we've been raised in. We've been marketed to. And we buy this, and we buy that, and we buy this, and we buy that. And we get caught up in this thought that what we have and what we own is what our value is. And Paul is saying, guys, you better get your eyes off that. Because here's what's going to happen. Your life is going to be over like that. And when your life is over, let me tell you what you're going to be. You're going to be naked like you came into this world. And what happens, and it can happen to us, and if you don't recognize how it could happen to you, then your part, you get caught up in the thing. And you get busy going to work, and you come home, and then you go to work, and you get on credit card debt. Oh, wow, now we've had it. I'm just saying. We get in credit card debt, and we buy more than we can afford. And that what that does is it just keeps us in the cycle. Whoa, I'm preaching good now, huh? And oh, I'm not rich. Can I talk to the rich today? I'm talking to every single person in this room. And we don't identify that. So because we don't identify with it, we think, oh, this ain't for me. This is for us. And so we get credit card debt, and then we get on this rat race, because then we got to keep on, you know what? And I'm not talking about not working. Everyone should work. This is good. Everyone should work. You know how many days you ought to work? No, not every day. Wrong answer. You know how many days you ought to work? 6 days. Wow, where'd you get that? Oh no, the Bible? Yeah, but Pastor, I can't. Stop saying you can't. Every one of us, listen to me. I don't know, maybe some of us have some limitations. Is everybody looking at me? Duh. Who doesn't have limitations? Is that not right? We all have limitations. But who told you who have limitations that means that you're not supposed to be productive? Because you are supposed to be productive. We're all supposed to work. Amen? Listen, and maybe you're not in a place that you can get a regular job. I understand that. But if you think that that's okay because you have limitations to sit home and watch TV all day, that, I'm just telling you what, that is ungodly. Wow. It is ungodly. No, I understand. Everybody's got limitations. But everybody has an opportunity to serve. And maybe my opportunity to serve looks different than your opportunity to serve, looks different from their opportunity to serve. But we all need to serve. So I'm not talking about, you know what, oh yeah, amen, Pastor, I'm just going to kick back, watch TV, and eat Doritos because it's ungodly to work. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is what happens to many people is they get caught up in this debt. You know what? Gotta work. Gotta come home. Gotta work. Yada, 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 yada. And here's what they do. They live their life and they forget that their life is just real short. You'll only have a little bit of time to glorify God on this earth. So don't be so caught up with stuff. Don't get be so caught up with materialism that you don't forget. No, no, let me tell you what God is. God is the most important thing in your life. Because let me tell you about God. He is the only one who can satisfy you. And we've been sold this wrong bill of goods that as soon as we, you know what, as soon as we get that product, as soon as we buy that home, as soon as we get that girlfriend, as soon as we, you know what, if I just was all I need, all I, you know, my life would be, matter of fact, I wish I had all the commercials that say, you know what, if your life, if you just buy this, you know what, you know these. The lady's in the kitchen, you know what? And she's all getting all frustrated because she's trying to chop tomatoes and her stupid knife is just smashing all the tomatoes. Come on, somebody. And then the narrator comes on and says, "You know what? Just get the, you know what? The ninja knife. You know what I mean? Get the ninja knife. You know what I mean?" And they'll even say this, you know what? It'll make your life easier and you'll find more happiness. I'm going to get happiness by buying a ninja knife? Is that not right? But guess what? Three easy payments of $34.86. You know what? And we ain't using half of the stuff that we got. You don't need a ninja knife to make you happy. You know what you need? You need Jesus Christ to make you happy. That's what will cause, and that's what Paul is saying. That's what James is saying. He's saying, guys, there's these people and they feel all lowly because they're listening to what the world's saying and they're on this side and they're all depressed because they don't fit the bill. And then there's these people over here and they got on the financial mess and they're all concerned because, you know what, they're trying to get this and trying to get that. Again, same thing, thinking that what the world is going to say is going to make them happy. If I just would have this, then I'd be happy. And you're going to get to the end of your life because your life is going to be like this. James says later on, your life is but a vapor. It's gone. It's here today and it's gone so quick. How many old enough to recognize how fast life goes? I mean, just bam, it's gone. And James is saying, guys, stop listening to the world. Because they'll tell you how awful you are. And they'll tell you, oh, but if you just had this, you'd be happy. And James is saying, they're wrong because you are something special. I don't care what house you live in. I don't care if you ate bologna sandwiches yesterday. Let me tell you what. You are all that and a bag of chips because you are in Christ Jesus. And those of you who get caught up in this world mentality, let me give you a couple of scriptures. 1 Timothy, guys in the back, go with me with this. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Look what it says. Commend those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in their uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. It was like, oh, you know what? And so here's this mentality. Somebody drives up in a nice car and we think, oh, they're, like we said this morning, oh, they're unspiritual because they all they care about. Listen, I'm smiling, right? You don't know nothing. You have no idea. But we make snap judgments. You know what? Based on something that we don't know, that person getting out of that Mercedes-Benz could be the most spiritual person that you've ever met. Before you call the rich ungodly because they're rich, what you going to do with Solomon? What you going to do with Job? What you going to do with David? None of them perfect, but many of them, while they were very, very rich. What are you going to do with Joseph? What are you going to do with Joseph? What are you going to do with Abram? Do I need to go on? What are you going to do with all those people? No, you know, listen. Rich people are not unspiritual. But I did say we're all rich, right? But rich people need to recognize the tendency that we have to get pulled into materialism and thinking that something that we have is going to make us happy. And James is saying, nothing you have is going to make you happy. Have you ever got something and you knew when you were going to get it, it was going to make you happy? Come on. Am I the only one? As soon as I get that, it'll make me so happy. You know what I mean? And what happens in the course of time? Somebody tell me what happens in the course of time. It gets dinged. It gets dented. It breaks. You know what? You stop playing it. And all of a sudden, what happens? Here's what it goes in the garage. And then it goes to the Goodwill. And then that very thing that was going to cause you to be so happy, now all you need is, you know what? Now it's, you don't need an iPhone. You need an iPhone 7 plus 8 Android X double twist with a double flip. I just had that one. You know what I mean? Remember when the phones were getting bigger and bigger and bigger? I mean, somebody's going to like walking with the flat screen TV. Hey, what's up? Remember that? Remember? It is craziness because it's all marketing. You know what I mean? At first it was like, get them small, get them small, get them small, get them small. You know what I mean? Remember the days when that guy had the cell phone and it had a little case? You know what I mean? Remember this? Some of you are too young to remember, but remember the guy with the case and he had, you know, the phone and you looked at him and you're like, wow. You looked at him and you're like, whoa, man, that guy is bad dude. Because we never saw that. He's got a peepicking suitcase. And we are envious to him. And then they were like, no, now it gets smaller and smaller and smaller. And each time it got smaller, you're like, man, I wish I had the smaller one. The smaller one's cool. The smaller one's cool. And then it got too small. And then what did they do? Then they were like, no, the bigger one's cool. The bigger one's cool. Then the bigger one's cool. Listen, what is it? It's just marketing. All it is try to get you unhappy. It's marketing. It's... And James says, guys, you don't understand. Paul says, listen, guys, you don't understand who I was. I was a Hebrew among Hebrews. I was a Pharisee. I was the elite of the elite in my group. Can I tell you how I see it now? He said, now all that I thought was so important, you know how I see it? That is rubbish. That's what he says. Compared with knowing Jesus Christ. Can I tell you what? The thing, and I'll stop here. The thing is that is going to cause happiness in your life. You know what? It's not materialism. And it's certainly not listening to people around you that are going to belittle you. It's in finding your satisfaction in Jesus Christ. Because he is the one that is going to put you up there and say, let me tell you what you are. You are awesome. And I love you. And I gave everything up for you. And you don't need anything except me. The Apostle Paul says this, or it says this in Acts. They say, in him we live and move and have our being. He says, to live is to Christ, to die is gain. Let me tell you what, Christ is the only one who will satisfy you. And we've got to come back. James is pulling us back and saying, guys, you know what? These people think this, and these people think that, and these people are wrong, and these people are wrong. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to focus on Jesus Christ. Because he is the one who'll make you happy. Somebody hearing what the Holy Spirit is saying to us? See, God is going to make us happy. He's the only one who's going to make you happy. Someone thinks that some boyfriend or girlfriend is going to make them happy. And you should have, I don't know whom I'm speaking to. I don't want anybody looking around. But you should have left him a long time ago. And he sweet-talked you. He persuaded you. He said something to you, and you felt special. But let me tell you what. He's not the one who's going to make you feel special. So stop thinking that way. Kick him to the curb quickly. Don't let him sweet talk you anymore. Recognize that you don't need him. And step out in faith and trust in God. And let him become the one who will satisfy you. Father, I thank you for your help. I thank you that Helper Holy Spirit helps us. I thank you that Jesus Christ loves us. And I thank you, may we find contentment in who you are in Jesus Christ. In his name we pray, amen. Amen.